Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, here again, we're teaching on faith for the last days, and we're now in part two, growing in faith. I'll read this opening scripture from verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I said last night a very, very profound but very valuable truth. Faith is your most valuable spiritual asset. Faith is. So after you got born again, after you gotten saved, after you got washed in the blood, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, your next thing that you need to learn how to do is use your faith. And learn how to use your faith. What faith is, how it comes, and how to make it work. Now, let's deal with this, because this is real, real, real good here tonight. What we're after is we're after living by faith. Let's go over to Habakkuk again. And Habakkuk chapter 2. And we said in Habakkuk chapter 2, starting at verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the table, upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So last night we talked about where is your faith? And that faith does not come out of the head. Faith is an inner man issue. It comes out of your heart. What will faith do? Faith connects you with the unlimited power of God. Faith connects you with the unlimited power of God. So virtually, it gives you God's ability. So all you have to do is find out what God can do. And you got a pretty good bead on what your faith can do right there. Now, of course, for us to get there, we're going to have to grow in faith. We're going to have to grow in faith. And that's where the issue comes, right there. Now, Jesus obviously had faith. And not only that, highly developed faith. In fact, Jesus manifested provisions on a moment's notice with his faith. Now, how many of you know he was the sample son? He was exhibit A. He was our person that we are to emulate. He said, the things that I do shall you do also. Now, just to give you a little secret, that's what I'm working on right there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, and he says here, and I'll start reading at verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Now, there's a lot of revelation in that. And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast in a hook, take up the fish that first comes up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. So he needs some tax money. Like somebody in here needs some tax money. Now you follow what I'm saying? I'm not just reading this for Jesus' sake. I'm reading this for your sake. And he needed some tax money. And look what he did. He just listened to the Father and just obeyed God on a moment's notice. And tax money came. Now, I don't know whether the tax money was in the fish's mouth from 10 years back. I don't even think a fish lived 10 years. Does a fish live 10 years? Or whether or not it was created when Jesus used his faith for the Father to provide provision. I don't know which one it was, but I don't care. That's faith's prerogative. The faith can produce it any kind of way faith wants to produce it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now this is key, because he had just gotten done teaching here. I won't go back to it. But this whole idea of manifesting something and manifesting it right now. Here's another place. Let's go to Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6. I mean, wouldn't it be something if you want to know how much a car costs? The guy said, well, this car costs $200,000. He said, I'll be back this afternoon to pick it up. And you don't have $1 in your bank account. Come on, I'm trying to think on another level now. We've been down here long enough, see. And that's the enemy, the trick of the enemy is to try to get us to think like fallen man. You are not fallen man. You are a child of the King. Matter of fact, you are joint heirs with Christ. Come on, joint heirs with Christ. I said joint heirs with Christ. Now that's pretty deep stuff right there. I did a little thing on joint heirs. Just a minute. Praise God in heaven. I see right now we're going to have to open up something tonight. We're going to have to open up a can of whoop the devil and praise God. Amen. I had it here somewhere. I know I did. Maybe I got it in my book. But anyway, this idea that you and I have to get a real revelation of who we are. Because, well, let me just show you this, and then I'll show you why you have to understand who you are. So this is Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, let's start reading here. Let's go to, in verse 35. No, Mark chapter, wait a minute, I'm not there. I'm in the wrong chapter. Mark chapter 6, and let's look at verse 35, yeah. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place. Right there, there's nothing out there. And now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. You feed them. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now they're trying to logically figure this out. And he said to them, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. The assumption is there's a little boy out there again. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks of hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were, come on, filled. And they took up the baskets full of fragments of the and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about how many thousand men?
5,000 men.
I'm talking about manifesting provisions on a moment's notice. Wait a minute. This is what you can do. But you can't do it if you never grow your faith. And I don't know about you, but I love to grow my faith. Remember what I said, faith is like money. The more you have, the more you can do. I said, the more you have, the more you can do. I also said faith is the master key. That means that it's the key to everything. The faith where you have money, and money it answereth all things, where you can get your teeth fixed and you can get your kids in school, money. Faith will do the same thing. You're just going up another level, because faith becomes the currency by which you can use. And faith will either bring the money to you or have you to get the services without money. Look what it says in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Put it up on the board, please. You look at Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho! That should have been yo. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, what? Without money and without price. Say amen to that. Faith is an international currency. It is an international currency. So it will do things. Jesus didn't carry around a bunch of money with him. He had a bunch of faith. Now, he had money, but Judas was tapping into it, as you know. Okay? Now, as we look at this, let's go further. So the church must grow in faith. Now, let me just show you 2 things. One, let's talk about first righteousness, because you're going to find that your faith, glory to God, that, well, let's go to scripture. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon, Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious, what? Faith. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Obtain like precious faith through the righteousness of God. And you'll find that as you increase in the knowledge of your righteousness, you will find that you will increase in the flow of faith that comes out of your heart. You get what I'm saying? Now, I want you to see that, because if you have, well, let me give you a scripture, because I want you to see this. If, turn to 1 John, which is a couple of pages over. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. And look what it says. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what? Confidence towards God. What's another word for confidence? Faith. See, if you're not walking in righteousness, then the only other thing is condemnation. And if the heart is condemned, you'll see that faith won't flow. It's like trying to shine a flashlight through a muddy jar of water. It's hard to penetrate. But if I clean up the water and shine the light through, it comes through almost at full force. Say amen to that. When you clean up your heart from the condemnation of your past, your faith will flow like a flood tide. Now, what is God after? He is after you coming into perfect fellowship with Him. Perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship. Glory to God. Can I go somewhere now? Is you in the God class without any sense of inferiority. You got what I'm saying? Look what it says here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. And look what it says. I'll do it first in the King James. He says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of what? Righteousness shall reign how? In life by one, Jesus Christ." Let's put it up there in the Amplified, please, because it'll show you how you're going to reign. He says, "For if by one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reign through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's love, overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself, reign as kings in life through one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Are y'all with me? I'm going somewhere now, and do not poke your lip out until you get out of here. How does Jesus see you? Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. This is how He sees you. Okay? Look what it says. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." What He gets, you get. Ephesians 2 and 6. Let's see what you got. "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So the moment He went up, you went up. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Now it's very important you see this. Let's go. Let's keep going. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse 5. Philippians 2 and look at verse 5. Glory to God. In 2 and 5, He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That is getting deep here, folks. I'm here to let you know something. One of the things that the enemy is after, I think above all, is you finding out who you are. Because everything spreads from there. Look what it says here. Let's go to Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my what? Brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. Jesus calls you brethren. Now, the thing that Jesus did is out of you being called brethren, he is walking in what we call preeminence. Glory to God. Lord, have mercy. Where is preeminence? It's in here somewhere. Preeminence has to do with someone. Give me my tablet out of there, please. Yeah, that's it. Preeminence. I got pages glued and you know, I'm not trying to look cute right now. I'm trying to get a word to you. I said I'm trying to get a word to you. If I can't find it, I'm just going to leave it. Preeminence. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, I'm going off on a little rabbit trail right now, but can I go for just a minute? Because what I'm establishing is that if you don't know who you are, your inheritance is directly connected to your identity. Remember what they said? We're in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. What did they want to do? Go forward or go back to Egypt? Back to Egypt. Your inheritance, because the harvest or the inheritance or the promises are given to the strong. See, it's directly connected to how you see yourself. And you can be just as bad as I don't know what up in here. You know what I mean by that? I'm saying you all of that, you know, hallelujah, running around the church and carrying on. And then next thing the doctor tell you, you got stage 4. We're going to see what you made out of. Now, I'm not letting him tell you that because I'm wiping that off right now if you, Jesus' name. But my point to you is, it's kind of interesting. Now, only thing I'm saying here is that faith can do anything. Faith can get jobs. See, and you grow in it. You first don't have any faith. So you said, boy, there are no jobs out there. See, that's a no faith person. Then you move into heard a little Bill Winston teaching. And then you say, I'm going to go out here and find me a job. See? And then let's move now because you're growing in faith. Then you move to the next step where you say, hey, I am not going to find a job. I'm going to make me the job that I want. Got it? And that's what my wife did in Tulsa. Then you move to the next stage that I moved to, and that's the stage what you providing 400 jobs for people with a shopping mall. See, you want to grow in faith. Why? Because you can do more for the kingdom. You can do more for people. Say amen to this. But it's directly tied to your identity. Because it won't flow through an unrighteous heart. It won't flow through a condemned heart. And the enemy tried to make you feel inferior. He tried to make you feel condemned and so forth and so on. And what we said yesterday, we're talking about fear. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And we said that fear contaminates your faith. It'll make it so the faith is there, but it's not working like it should. Now, where do I have you now? Didn't I tell you to go somewhere? Colossians 1. Yeah, put it up there. All right. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? Preeminence. And I looked up this word preeminence, and it means superiority in excellence, distinction in something commendable. It means superiority in power or in influence. In other words, you are his brethren. You've got the same DNA that Jesus has. God loves you just like he loves him. Watch this. But he has preeminence. He has preeminence. He's the one that has the most influence. Are you following what I'm saying? See, somebody's got to lead this. And Jesus is leading it. But what you saw here, put that scripture back up there one more time, please. What you saw is that he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Look at the book of Acts and Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 3 is good. This is Paul and his group going to haul Christians off the jail. And as he journeyed, he came to near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from where? From heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who? Me. Me who? Jesus. Wait a minute. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting some people. See, he doesn't make the separation. Satan wants you to make the separation. Are you following what I'm saying? There is none. You are one with him. My wife, when we got married, it says, and the two in Genesis became one. One, not two, one. Jesus said, I and the Father are how many? One, not two. That's what disturbed him on the cross. Before he went there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. What did he want? He wasn't trying to get away from the punishment and the lashes of the whip. It didn't bother him. What bothered him is to be separated from one he was one with. And he had been one with him before eternity. And I'm telling you, you are one with Christ. You are one with him. You are more, watch this, in heaven than you are on this earth. Now, you swallow that. And if you knew you were seated together with him, you would command some things like a king's supposed to command things, and things will do what you say. This, if you look, he's preeminent. Look at Genesis 45 and go down to verse 5. Let's try that. Now therefore be not grieved. This is Joseph talking to his brothers who have now come down to join him. Who now he revealed himself to, that he was in Egypt and he was a prime minister. Now watch what they said. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to do what? Preserve life. Now, who were they? His brothers. But he was preeminent. Can't you see it? This is a type of Christ and the church. Everything he gets, we get. Look what Pharaoh told him after that. Pharaoh said, go tell your daddy and them. Well, I got to show you that. Praise God. Y'all ever heard of daddy and them? Look what he says to him. He says, I'm trying to get you to see that you're in the God class. And there's no condemnation. Glory to God. Verse 17, let's just start right there. And look what he says here. Oh, this is good. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beast and go and get you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come unto me. And I will give you the good land of the land of, the good of the land of Egypt. Now that good there, put in your Bible if you have it, best. That comes from a Hebrew word, T-O-W-B. It means the best that there is. And you shall eat the fat of the land. Next verse. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, and take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Regard not that old car that won't start, that old Shifaro with some marks on it. Come on. That old dresser all messed up. Come on. That old furniture that you've been putting plastic on for 10 years trying to leave that junk there. Because I have the best for you right now. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's just go back to where we were now, because that's preeminent. Now, I'm not going to go any further with that, but you do some study on that yourself. And what he's asking us to do is be not conformed to this world. I'll put it here. Be not conformed to this world. Don't you fall into that place of fallen man thinking. See, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I talked about yesterday talking. You got to watch your speech, because if you start speaking like them, you'll go down to the level of them. Your speech is going to conduct your life. So he had to tell Abraham or teach Abraham how to talk again. All right, let's just move on here. Praise God. Are you with me so far? All right. So what we want to do is we want to grow in faith, because we've seen Jesus now, that Jesus won in Mark chapter 4, he spoke to a storm. Did the storm obey him? Yes. In Mark chapter 11, he spoke to a tree. Did the tree obey him? Yes. And I can show you places that he spoke to sick people, dead people. He spoke to fish, donkeys, and everything, and they obeyed him. Say amen. Amen. And then he had the nerve to say, put it up, John chapter 14 and verse 12. Here's what he said now. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. So he fully expects you to be developed in your faith. As a matter of fact, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, he says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I'll put that up there in the Amplified. Let's see if it gives us any more clarity. He says this, looking away from all that will distract us to Jesus, who is the leader, come on, and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive to our belief, and is also the finisher, bringing it to what? Maturity and perfection. I'll stop right there. So notice what Jesus is doing with you right now. He's out to bring your faith to perfection. He's out to bring your faith to maturity. And most of the body of Christ is not mature in their faith because when they got their faith, they just sat on their faith and never started to develop their faith. But things are changing now. Praise God. You're going to be growing in faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12. Are you with me so far? How are we doing so far? Are you following me? Okay. All right. Look at Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 1. I'll start there. You're there, right? All right. Look what it says here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's you. This is Paul talking to the church. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Next verse. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, you who? The church, not people, the church. And there's a difference between the church and folks that are not in the church. Come on now, you've heard the expression, well, we're all the children of God. Okay, all right. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to what? Every man the measure of faith. So everyone got the measure of faith. Put it up there, please. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says this, by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift, the gift of God. So I know grace is a gift, but also faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. God gave it to you when you got saved. As a matter of fact, you needed it to access his grace. To get saved. Say amen to that. Now, what kind of faith do you have? Let's go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Let's see what kind of faith did he give you. Jesus answering and said to them, have faith in God. Now, what kind of faith is that? Let's in the Amplified. I'm not sure what it says in the Amplified. Put the Amplified up there. Let me just see what that scripture says. It says, praise God. It says, Peter. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God. Okay. All right. But it says in the Greek, have the God kind of faith. Now, he's about to tell you what the God kind of faith is. In other words, don't use your car. Here, take my keys. I'm just playing with you. Take my keys. Take my keys and use my car. Are you following what I'm saying? Because human faith is not good enough. Human faith is based on secular belief. Secular belief comes through me logically processing something. I have groceries and I'm bringing it out to the car. I've just gone shopping and I'm putting them in the trunk. Why? Because I know the car is going to start. Why? Because it started for me before I came in here. Why? Because it's starting all the time. You see what I'm saying? It's because of my experiences and all of that. Am I convinced that this is so? If I see a chair, it doesn't look quite like I can sit in it. It'll stand up. I'm subject to stay awake, so forth and so on. But the Bible belief is belief independent of what you've experienced or what is in your circumstances or in your environment. It's only dependent on the Word of God. Got it? So I've got to understand God is bringing me over to a different kind of faith, the God kind of faith. Now, the God kind of faith works this way. Put verse 23 up now. It works this way. I'm going to wait 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's a God kind of faith. That I believe what I say is going to come to pass. That's a God kind of faith. I believe it first. Then I'm going to speak it. And I believe whatever I speak is going to come to pass. Got it? Now that's what created the world. God believed, let there be light. See? Now notice, he spoke. He didn't think it. Because that's not the way faith works. He spoke it. And he spoke it. And each time he goes down in Genesis 1, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And God said, and God said, and God said. But everything he said was. Because he believed that when he spoke it, it's going to come to pass. Man, this stuff is good, I'm telling you. All right, now, so you and I have that kind of faith. And now we've got to develop that faith. But to develop your faith, you need to know, in flying airplanes, they call it situation awareness. For you to go somewhere, you're going to have to find out first where you are now. If you're in a city and you're lost, and your cousin, Shaquita, she's asking you, here's what she's going to ask you. Well, where are you now? You say, well, I'm at the corner of Hollywood and Vine, and there's a BP gas station on the corner. Oh, I know where you are. Okay, now go north. You see what I'm saying? Now, she's directing you to the house. And I'm telling you, for you to go and get mature faith, you're going to have to locate yourself right now. Make sense to you? All right, let me give you some of the faith that is existing in the Bible, and it's up to you to find out where you are, not where you want to be. Don't lie to yourself. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, please. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Look what it says. And when Jesus was into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus, and for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, this man go, and he goeth, to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I've not found so. Come on, say it with me. Great faith, no, not in Israel. So there is great faith. You can have faith that you don't need anybody to come to the house. You can have faith that you don't need to go to the hospital. You can speak the word from right where you are. Come on now. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Glory to God. And he said this. He said, I said 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. That is not true. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5. I made a mistake on that. Okay. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, say unfeigned faith. Unfeigned. Now, I told you last night, unfeigned faith is a faith that one man said that unfeigned faith is faith that's legitimate. I'd say it's more than that. It's absolute trusting faith. It's faith where your total confidence is in the power and the wisdom of Almighty God. That you're leaning not to personalities or anything, but it's absolute confidence in God. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in you what? Also. Look what he's doing. He's passing down faith just like you pass down an inheritance. Say amen to that. And folks, you need to be teaching your kids faith. Say amen to that. And so forth. So let's go to another one here. Let's go to James chapter 1, please. And verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Now you can locate yourself here because we talked about unfeigned faith. This is that bulldog faith. Can I use that term? Bulldog? We're talking about great faith. Okay? Now, like I said, I'm not talking about where you want to be. I'm talking about where you are right now. And look what it says here in verse 5. Verse 5. And he said, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, come on, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Keep going. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wavering faith. Somebody in here has had wavering faith. Now we're getting you out of this, but I just want you to locate yourself. Because we can't, you know, I'm calling you now on the phone. I'm saying, where are you? I'm over here by the dog track. Okay, come on, I'm over there. And come on down here and go north with me. All right? Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And look at verse 22. Let me know when you get to verse 22. Come on back there. Seeth thou hath how faith wrought with his works, and by works with, I can't see that, was faith made perfect. Perfect faith. Perfect faith is mature faith. That's what it means. Your faith is mature. Glory to God. Let's go to another one. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Rich faith. Rich faith. Lord have mercy. Let's go to Acts chapter 6, please. In verse 1. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Let me know when you get there. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the twelve called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among the seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we have appointed over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man what? Full of faith. That's the kind of person you need to run with. You need to run with somebody that is full of faith. You know, when you're full of faith and somebody says something crazy, out of your mouth will come a faith statement. Are you with me here? And you ought to be like that. You ought to have a hair trigger. You ever heard of a hair trigger on a gun? It's like as soon as you hit that trigger, that thing is going off. So you ought to be ready when somebody says something like, you know, girl, you got what I had. No, no. Praise the Lord. No, nothing about me is like you. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to say that. Okay. All right, let's go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. All right. Matthew 14. I'm trying to, let me avoid some of these scriptures because am I out of time already? Man. Okay, I don't see my clock up there. What are you doing? Flow, okay. Okay, look at Matthew 14, and let's start reading. I want to start reading. Let's go at verse 25, okay? Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for what? Fear. Hold on just a minute. Cried out for fear. And, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, what? Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, what? Lord, come on, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? So doubt can really wipe out your faith. I said, when you're in the midst of a miracle, don't doubt. Stay right there with the program. Say amen to that. Let's go to one more. Let's go to Mark's gospel. I think you know this one. Mark chapter 4, please. And in Mark chapter 4, look what happened when he said in verse 35, in the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so what? Fearful. How is it that you have no faith? Man. Now that might be where some people are right now. But let's start with where Abraham was. I'm going to just cover a couple more things and I'll let you go. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, please. This is where we kind of had our campground last night. We stopped. And let's look at Romans chapter 4. And I want to read this, okay? All right. See, the world system is in trouble and they're going to need your faith. I said the world system is in trouble and they're going about to need your faith. So we must develop our faith. They can't develop it because they don't have any. All right, look what it said in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not, come on, as though they were. All right, let's just deal with that for just a minute because God calls things that what? Be not as though they were. All right. Why is he saying that? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it makes a profound statement. He says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, people have taken that and done all kinds of things with it. But here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to let you know that one day is with God like 1,000 years. Or 50,000 years. Makes no difference. Why? Because God lives in the eternal now. Now, hold on. I'm going to explain it just a minute. With God, there is no time as we know it. There is none. So because there's no time as we know it, then he can't measure things with time. So it's all eternal. There is no time in it. So whenever you pray, you believe you receive now. Because whenever you receive, whether it's today or tomorrow, it's still now with God. Because he lives in the now. There is no other time. There is no future. There's no past. Because he's always now. He's ever present. He is now. Got it? Now, if you start understanding this, and know that God has no tomorrow, then you'll start taking your language and developing it based on an eternal language versus a temporal language. See, I'm going to be healed. That has time. But when he gave Abraham his name, he said, your name is Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. In other words, call yourself Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude. Where is the multitude? The multitude in Abraham's life was in his future, but not with God. Because God has no future. So as far as God is concerned, he saw Abraham with the multitude now. Got it? So for Abraham to get the action of what was already in heaven into his life, he was going to have to call things that be not as though they were. Come on, come on now. See, I know you may be feeling some sickness in your body, but according to heaven, the eternal reality, you're not going to be healed. You are healed. And for you to get heaven to come to earth, you've got to agree with it. Agree means to confess. It means you've got to say, I am healed, before you ever feel anything going on in your body. And you know and I know, Shaquita and them are not going to understand that. Your cousin's not going to understand it. Come on. Nope. Jesus showed up at Jairus' house. Here's what he said. She's not dead. She just sleep. And they start laughing at him. Now, they were crying before he got there. And he put them all out. Say amen. Amen. But this is the way faith works, because faith has no time. It is always present tense. And it's present tense because it's a God kind of faith. And how God sees you is what faith says about you. And for you to get faith to work for you, you must bring your conversation, your thinking, your believing in line with your faith. And your faith says, it's already done. Your faith says, I'm already healed. Your faith says, plenty of money in my bank account. Your faith says, that house is already mine. Your faith says, are you following what I'm saying? My wife and I, when I told you I was reading off those things about my wife and those prayers, every one of them were present tense. Father, I thank you. My wife is a virtuous woman, always does me good as long as there's life within her. Now, this is when we first got married, this 30 years ago. Look, and the enemy's trying to point out things about my wife, but I took the word of God, because the word of God is agreeing with God. It doesn't have time. My wife is a virtuous woman, always doing me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she'll not eat. He gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house, and assigns her maids their tasks. I'm going to wipe my nose. And does not neglect her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. She looks well on how things are in her household. And the word is working mighty in our marriage. We've been transferred into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our minds. And my mind would say, that ain't true. It is true. Say amen. Amen. Now, it may not be a fact right now, but it is true. And your truth is going to take the fact and change it to line up with heaven's reality. Now, that'll happen in your ministry. That'll happen in your marriage. That'll happen in your money. That'll happen in your business. That'll happen anywhere, because if something is not lined up with the way God says it in heaven, bring it in line. Praise God. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Woo! Bring it in line. Folks, before it's all over, everything is going to line up with heaven. Praise God. Everything in this earth going to line up with heaven in the name of Jesus. Lord have mercy. I had something else for you. Now, so God lives in the eternal now. Now, let's look at one more verse that goes along with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, glory to God. Chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, inside of you is a inside of your body is a spirit. That's the real you. And your spirit knows this, because heaven is your spirit's home or reality. It was come out of God. You have eternity in your heart. Got it? Now, look what it says. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, that's your body. Our inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. That's your spirit. Remember what I said, faith doesn't come out of your head. What does it come out of? Your heart, your spirit, the force of faith comes out of your spirit. Next verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. Temporal. Temporal down here. Look at my hands. Watch my hands. See that line right there I'm drawing with my line? Above that is eternal, no time. Below that is time, temporal. What does the devil try to keep you? Temporal. Why? Because if you're in time, he can control you. You got to come up out of time. So I understand the doctor said this is going to take 8 months to heal and so forth like that. But you got to say, Doc, I'm going up above time. By his stripes. Come on, you got to lay it down now. Because professionals don't understand this. They've been trained in their way. God bless them. Thank God for doctors. If it wasn't for doctors, a lot of Christians would be dead. But my point to you is there's a way that we can live that stuff won't even cling to us. All right, now I want to start this just one more time here at verse 17. Verse 17, just one more time. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen. Now notice what the devil will try to do. Get you to look at the things that are happening to you. See, instead of looking past that to the word.
Right.
See, and while we look not at the things that are what? Seen, natural eye, but at the things that are what? Not seen, the word of God. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal, are subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So I can take something you can't see and I can make it replace something you can see. And as long as I look at something that I can see with my natural eyes, marriage problems, so forth and so on, and not looking at that word, my tendency is to say what I see. And when I say what I see, I'm going to get more of what I got. But what I need to do is reverse that. I need to not say what I see, but say what he said. And if I say what he said, what I see is going to have to change. Because nothing can stand against the word of God. Now give the Lord a praise. I'm done. Hey! That's what I'm talking about. I said, I believe I can see you with great faith. Oh, oh, oh. I can see you with unfeigned faith. Glory to God. Say amen to that. Folks, you get your faith working right and the devil can't touch you on any front. And even not only that, you can go to your neighbor's house and get the devil out of your neighbor's house. Come on now. We don't just need to let a storm come in Chicago and we just sit by. No, two or three of us wrap our faith together and go out in the yard and say, storm, this is our time, saints of God. Woo, sit down, we gotta go. Now, notice what happened tonight. Faith came. Yes. See, faith came. You were receiving and start pulling. Because I didn't even plan to say all of this. You start pulling, see. And last night I was pushing, but now you pulling. So that means somebody about to have a baby up in here. Ooh, Lord. A promise is about to be born. Manifestation. Push, pull, push, pull. Sit down. All right. Yes, sir. Sit down. Let me do this. See, faith is coming now. That's the kind of faith you need. That's the kind of faith that's going to multiply money in your pocket. Come on. That's the kind of faith. Come on now. All right, come on. I got to get out. Come on. I want you to come back tomorrow night. The devil is defeated. God is exalted. And Jesus is Lord. All right, turn it out. Now, if you're here, and you know in your life you're not right with God, that's why you were brought here, because every one of us must be saved. The Bible says God desires.